Hello, everyone, and welcome to the fourth episode of Study Busters. A study tip for the day is to take breaks. Taking a 10-minute break for every hour of studying helps students stay more focused and energized while working. My name is Mark Blaze, and today we will be discussing different study tactics students can use when achieving different degrees. Today we have Ken Neiman on the show. Welcome, Ken.
Thank you, Mark.
All right, Ken has a bachelor's degree in biology from Pepperdine, a master's degree in philosophy from Trinity Graduate, a DC from Cleveland Chiropractic, and is currently working on a second master's in public health from UMass Amherst. So the topic for today is how students must study differently for different degrees, such as a bachelor's, master's, or a DC. So, Ken, what motivated you to want to keep going to school to achieve all these different levels of degrees?
Great question, Mark. After graduating from Pepperdine with a degree in biology, I served as a chemist at UCLA and Amgen for about a decade. And I was really happy in the lab, but I felt like I wanted more. I wanted more independence. I kind of was rejecting the corporate life, too. It was great for a while, but I just felt like my needs and values and what have you were shifting in another direction. So I ended up going to, I was working on a master's in chemistry at Cal State LA at the time, and I was not able to finish that program because of a lack of funding that they had. So on sort of a whim, I decided to go to chiropractic school. I didn't do any investigation in it. I was thinking that I was getting into something like physical therapy. And it turned out to be a huge mistake. And we can go into that deeper as the show goes on. But I graduated from chiropractic school with a DC. And I even started my master's degree in philosophy while I was still in chiropractic school. So I was a busy guy for a while. One of the concerns that I had about chiropractic school was the lack of evidence-based practices. On one hand, I was studying things like ethics and bioethics in my philosophy program, that is studying not how to treat people and going into the chiropractic program and treating them. And by that, I mean things like overutilization, which means unnecessary treatments and stuff like that. So I had a big moral issue with chiropractic. At the same time, I was absolutely loving my philosophy degree. It was like an intellectual feast. And it was something that I did for me. It taught me how to think, how to write, how to relate to people. But as far as there's not a lot of jobs out there for philosophy degrees, right? You have to go into journalism or something like that, or something along those lines. But unless you're going to teach, but it was the most personally fulfilling thing that I've ever done, I think. So it was like an end in itself, as they say. The study of philosophy is an end in itself. Then I was in a little bit of a quandary about what to do with this chiropractic degree that I spent so much money for. And it was really halfway through the program that things took a turn for the worse. In the first part of the program, I was studying things like anatomy, neuroanatomy, X-ray. Those were all great. And there were actually some great classes that I had that really taught me a lot of physiology. The problem was is that as the program progressed, I was getting classes that were unique to chiropractic, and that's where the problem started. The short of it all is that I love studying the human body and physiology and health, but I kind of took a wrong turn, so I ended up getting my master's in public health to kind of compensate for the mistake that I made in going to chiropractic school.
Awesome. Yeah. You said you were trying to get a master's in chemistry, but it was stopped due to lack of funding. Would you ever go and try to get the master's in chemistry again?
No, I don't think so. I think I'm past it. It's been a long time, but I'm grateful for the knowledge that I did learn. I did things, really cool stuff like gene manipulation and things like that. So,
all right. So last time on the show, we had a student who was balancing school with working a full-time job. Did you ever have to do that while going to school? And if so, how did it affect you?
Yeah, it is challenging. There's no doubt about it. While I was doing my undergraduate degree, I worked as a security guard on the campus. Had some fun with that, too. But I got a tuition break for it. And then while in chiropractic school, I worked as a personal trainer. And then now I've been doing my master's in public health through UMass Amherst and working full time while doing that. That's an online program. And I really absolutely love the online format. The only time I really missed being in the classroom was when the program got really deep into the math, you know, the biostats and what have you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What would you say the biggest difference between online and in-person is?
The biggest difference? Efficiency and time. When you're in the classroom, you're looking for parking spaces, you're commuting through traffic. For me, I just went home and flipped on my computer and I was ready to go. It's convenience.
Convenience? Is it harder to focus something? Because I have a huge focus problem if I'm not in a classroom front row.
Yeah, that's interesting. So there's different types of learners out there. And for me, I'm a reader, so I'm very good independently. I have some auditory processing issues. So in a roundabout way, I kind of hear like a dyslexic reads. The sounds come through fine, but they get kind of jumbled up at times. And so while I was in chiropractic school, I had a great teacher that just recognized this problem in me. And she said, you know what, just relax, don't take any notes, and pay a fellow student to take good notes for you. And that's what I did, and it worked out beautifully.
Awesome. Yeah. Wow. So what of your degrees was the hardest to get? I know you said you weren't all too excited for chiropractic school, but was the bachelor's have different challenges? Was the master's a little bit harder?
Yeah, at Pepperdine, I almost think that might have been the most challenging because there was no grade inflation there. If everybody got a D in the class, everybody got a D in the class. And so I think that was probably more challenging than the other schools that I've been through.
Wow. No grade inflation.
Yeah, I know. It was painful.
Degree do you think has been the most beneficial in your life?
Yeah, again, the philosophy degree, because it's been such a personal, intellectual joy for me. Yeah.
Awesome. What's something that you learned in the philosophy class that you still keep with you to this day?
Oh, so much, so much. What stands out is the ability to write and to think critically. Even knowing basic fallacies, I think, will take a person really far in life. You know, understanding what it means to make an ad populum fallacy or something to that effect is just really helpful. It just makes you a sharper, more critical thinker.
Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. So what do you think is the most important quality that you have that helped you achieve your bachelor's degree?
I've always loved the topics that I've studied in the schools that I've studied. So I did not enter the classroom with an attitude, well, I'm going to do this just to make money. I always pursued my passions. And even when I made a mistake in chiropractic school, I still love physiology. I still love that neuroanatomy and learning all those things. So it wasn't a complete loss, and I took it with me into my career today. But I've always just pursued my passions, and that's just made it so much easier. It was never a grind for me.
That's awesome, because a lot of students these days would just go to school to try to get a profession that Right. They don't really want. They just
don't
do
that. Yeah, yeah. You know what? I know people that are making enormous amounts of money, and they cannot wait till the day they retire. You know, they're working usually a lot more than 8-hour days, and they're doing well. You know, they've got that prestige, but you know, you have to do a cost benefit analysis to how happy you are, because the acquisition of wealth is only one parameter of success. We have quality of life, our relationships, our health, you know, because being in the wrong job could cause somebody so much stress that, you know, their health is horribly impacted.
Yeah, it's important. All right, so why did you choose to go for a master's degree?
In both cases, I love the topics, the area of study. I spoke about the philosophy, but the public health has been very intellectually satisfying too, because I study things that are different each semester. Like, I'll study disaster management one semester, toxicology, epidemiology, and biostats, health behavior. So I have a huge health or psychological component to what I'm studying. So it was the breadth of that degree that really excited me. I felt like I have a bigger picture of the world because of it.
Awesome. Do you think it would be smarter for a student, because a lot of students like to take time off between a bachelor's and master's degree, do you think it's smarter to just go all the way through with this whole schooling, to take that break in between?
Great question. I think it depends on the individual. One of the problems that I had is that I didn't grow up until I was about 24, 25. And I think if I had used those earlier years to go, you know, take a trip around the world or something and just give myself time to grow up, I would have, I'd be a medical doctor right now instead of the DC. But, yeah, I think, does that answer the question?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you kind of take some time to mature a little bit.
Right. So it depends on the person. If somebody's just like, this is what I want to do, I want a straight track, then I'd say go for it. But, some people will need work experience, you know, before they decide that a certain master's degree or graduate degree is right for them. They might not end up liking the field, you know, that happens. So
yeah.
I recommend it in general.
All right. What was the hardest part about achieving your bachelor's degree?
I'd say it seemed endless. There's just always one more class to take. I guess that's the hardest part. I mean, it was just so long.
It's just so long.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where are you originally from?
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, a suburb of Pittsburgh called Fox Chapel.
So why Pepperdine?
So I had the benefit of going to a really cool prep school outside of Pittsburgh, and my friends got into Ivy Leagues and fancy East Coast schools, and I didn't, so I at least wanted to be different. So I applied to Pepperdine, got in, so I think that was more of like a change, since I didn't get into the Harvard or Princeton that, you know, my friends did. So.
Wow. I mean, it's a lot warmer over here.
Yeah, and I was happy. It was a good school.
Yeah. Great school. All right, what was the hardest part about achieving your master's? Whether it was the pass
yeah,
learning curve,
like,
when you're working
the
on
the teacher would like say would just like assign a 700-page book to read by next week, you know. So it was a crazy amount of reading, and there's always a certain panic, like, oh, well, I get all this work done by the deadline, and it is stressful. So I would say, yeah, deadlines are stressful. It doesn't stop.
I know you said you like reading, but did you actually do the reading?
Most of it, yes.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah, with the philosophy program, it was interesting because I would sit in a 4-hour class and not look at the clock once.
Really?
I was that gung-ho and loved it. My professors, Frank Beckwith and Craig Hawkins, were so, two that stood out, were so engaging that they held my attention for 4 hours.
That's impressive. Because I sit in an hour and a half class.
I know.
I'll look at
I
the
know.
Clock 5 times.
Yeah, youth is part of that too. I'm a bit older than you. So the older you are, I think that it's easier to sit in class. You know, you're not as antsy
definitely.
And stuff. Yeah.
What was the hardest part about achieving your DC, other than the fact that you just made the mistake by going for it?
I guess coming to grips with doing what was right for me despite external pressures. You know, for example, I was married at the time, and you know, my ex-wife, you know, you just don't go to a school for 4 years, spend $100,000, and then they say, "Whoops, I'm sorry, this is not what I want." You know, it's kind of frowned upon.
Yeah, I bet.
You know, so I think that answers the question most directly.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. A lot of people these days like to argue that going to college, going to school really isn't that important. Why do you think it's important for students to go and get a bachelor's degree, to go and get a master's degree?
Well, I think it's important depending on what you want to do, first of all. If construction is your passion, then I don't think college is necessary. But if you want to be a psychologist, doctor, whatever, then that's just the road that you have to take. And like I said, I think the timing is important. I think that these community college systems are one of the best deals in town because it helps you get a start with your education without spending an enormous amount of money, too. The student debt crisis is impacting so many people your age these days. They're not buying cars, getting married, you know, buying houses because they've got this big student debt, right? But if you can knock out some of these classes in a community college like Pierce, that where the quality is really high, I mean, that's a bargain that should be completely embraced in my view. But anyway, back to your question, I think that the value of that money spent on education is money well spent. I would just take it in the directions of your passion, you know.
Yeah, don't waste money just
right.
Just
exactly.
Don't go
just to go. Right.
Go for something you love.
Right, exactly.
Awesome.
And if it takes time to figure that out, then so be it.
Yeah. 7-year degree is still a degree.
Right, exactly.
All right. What do you think is the most effective way to achieve a master's degree or bachelor's degree in schooling? Like what types of studying did you do? Like, would you spend all-nighters in class, or would you work ahead to stay on top of your work?
And my undergraduate career was characterized by, unfortunately, you know, chasing girls during the week, drinking beer, playing lacrosse, and then when the test came to stay up all night and cram. And that doesn't work really well with things like organic chemistry or physical chemistry. So my grades suffered, definitely, and that was one of the reasons why I brought up about, you know, possibly waiting to go to school before that kind of thing is out of your system. But could you repeat the question?
It's just like, how would you study for, like, a big test? Like,
oh, okay. So, but now since I'm older and I'm going through a graduate program, I finally learned that discipline of preparing ahead of time.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
important.
You still struggle with procrastination, but there's not as many external factors coming at you to distract you, I would say.
Yeah. You said you were playing lacrosse. Did you play college lacrosse?
Yeah, I was captain of my college lacrosse team. So,
wow. How did being a student-athlete affect your studies?
It's funny you mentioned that because I'm doing my master's thesis on exercise and depression, and after previewing, like, you know, just mounds of literature, exercise is absolutely fantastic for not just depression, but for the whole span of our cognitive abilities.
That's definitely,
yeah, you're more likely to get to be in a study mode, I think, after a good hard workout. I always is, you know. Other people can go ahead and experiment and see if it works for them.
I can agree with that. Yeah. After a good workout and study mode. But didn't, like, long practices or games and traveling?
Yeah, that was definitely made it difficult. We did travel. And when you travel, that entails, like, oh, I have to study during the week really hard so I can travel on the weekends, and it didn't always play out that way just because of my youthfulness.
All right. So finals are approaching for the Pierce College students. What is a good finals tip that you can give to students?
I would say please sleep. I know that's hard to do. It's painfully obvious. You know, the people always tell you to do that, but it definitely works. It definitely helps. Remember that hippocampus is recording all that information that you're taking in while you sleep. So if you don't sleep, you're not going to retain as much.
Yeah, most definitely.
Or be as sharp come the day of the test.
Rather study a little bit and get a good 8 hours than study a lot and get like 1 hour.
Exactly.
Much more important. So did you make sure to get a lot of sleep when you were studying for finals?
Yeah, not undergrad, but since I've been in graduate school, I made it a priority, and it's really worked out well. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. So before we wrap things up, is there anything you would like to add before we have to go?
Just again, pursue your passions, and remember that loving what you do is a huge part of being successful too. And it's not always just about the money. It's important, but please just pursue your passions, whatever engages you. Have a purpose. Your academic pursuits and your intellectual pursuits should be meaningful to you, really meaningful to you.
That's definitely, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. All right, so that is all the time we have for today. I hope everyone enjoyed that episode of Study Busters. Thank you, Ken, for coming on today.
My pleasure.
Much appreciated. And to all those listening out there, make sure to tune in next time to Study Busters. I'm your host, Mark Blaze from KPC Radio, signing off. Thank you.